Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. It is now underway. Bill Arnold over on this side of the studio and across the studio, George Fraser, who I'm not saying is Batman, but I will also say I've never seen George and Batman in the same room together. Have you, Alex?
No.
I didn't think so.
Way to get in on that, Alex. Yeah. That sounded like good morning.
Did it? Well, I'm just trying to be upbeat, George. We have a great show. We've got Reverend Johnny Hunter with us tonight, and that is going to be one of our best shows ever.
Well, he's been on before, and he's one of our favorite people and favorite
yes.
guests. No question about that.
You know, George, he is a people person, and I know you used to be a people person, and then people ruined it for you.
They did. They're annoying, Bill.
I don't think it's they're annoying. I think you have a keen ability to annoy complete strangers.
It's a lifestyle choice.
I'm just saying, Bill. I'm just saying. But, George, we're going to talk about a step tonight. We're going to have a nice conversation with the Rev, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the Recovery Church, his church, the Recovery Church.
First Community Recovery Church,
and all the lives that he's touching and all the good news that's going on in that world. So, George, we have a step for us tonight.
Well, we have two tonight, Bill. We do a step every week, and we combine 8 and 9 and 6 and 7, and tonight we're on 6 and 7. And what they are is we're entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character in 6, and then in 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Here's what we're trying to do. We've made a confession in the last step. And, Bill, as you quoted last week, I think it was the first verse you ever learned, if we are faithful to confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. That's 1 John 1:9.
1:9.
Okay. And so today we want to do that, but we got to do the work. The book of James talks about faith without works is dead. Now we're going to start doing the work. Why do we have the problem we do? Our defects of character, our dishonesty, our pride, our greed, our lust, all of that we need to give to God, and we want to write these down. It seems to work well when you actually do something. What we want to do is get these words out of the Bible and into action. Get it into our lives. We can go hear a sermon and go, gosh, that's great. I need to do that. And by the time we get to the car after the service, we're not doing it. And what the steps do for us, as you've said, it's like taking your medicine. Mm-hmm. You've got to do your exercises. So that's what we're looking at tonight.
Good. Well, despite the look on my face, you're still talking. So thank you for wrapping that up. George, I want to talk a little bit about what I was having as far as quiet time this morning, because I was up at 5 o'clock, crack of dawn. And,
crack of dawn's about 7 now.
Well, whatever. But anyway, nice and early, and I was having quiet time, and I was looking through Proverbs, which I love reading through. I try to read through Proverbs once a month about, because there's always...
Go ahead. A chapter a day?
No.
Because that'll get you through it in a month.
Yeah, good math. here are a couple I just want to talk about, and I think the Rev will be able to address these as well tonight because it's very relevant to the recovery community. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with anyone easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Now, isn't that playmates and playgrounds? We get back in environments where we've used in the past or we've been tempted before and we find ourselves back to square one.
Yeah, I think it's in Corinthians, Bill, where it says bad company corrupts good character. And that's exactly what Solomon's talking about there, is that we're going to be who we hang with. And when we look at 6 and 7 and our defects of character, do we really want to change? A defect of character can be, I'm doing good enough. I'm good enough right now. And we know we've never arrived. That's a real good report card for parents and that have kids. Who are your kids hanging with? Because
mm-hmm.
we do find community. And in our Christian walk, do you have a solid group of men that you can be with? What we see with addictive people, and I'm in recovery myself, you need to change friends. And I can always tell you how well you're going to do by whether you have solid Christian men in your life. And so that's true. And if you have a bunch of people that are arrogant and causing trouble and, you know, being the cool crowd and always fun and getting attention, you're probably not going to do too well.
All right, George, how about Proverbs 25, verse 28? Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control.
Yeah.
Comment?
Self-control.
You got
it's
nothing.
One of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have self-control unless we get it from God.
Okay. And then Proverbs 23:12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. I'm certainly hoping tonight we'll have some words of knowledge that the
Oh, you're not going to get it from us.
Well, but I'm reading God's word, so there's words of wisdom
well,
there.
Well, and we have a reverend coming on, too. But it's exactly right. Who are you around? What are you hearing? Garbage in, garbage out. Bill, I know you go down and speak at the Salvation Army every Friday night with a message of hope and deliverance that's only found in Jesus Christ. And we've got to saturate ourselves in the word. Once again, we look at what are we doing. Are you spending time in the word? For me, if I'm working with guys, I don't ask them to do anything I'm not doing. I'm in a Bible study. I go to recovery meetings. I go to church every week. And I'm in the word because you get away from it, you're dead. So we've got to soak that up.
Mm-hmm. And, George, another one I want to talk about real quick is Proverbs 25:17 that says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and they will hate you. Well, that's interesting because that's why I never come to your house.
You do know where I live. I don't
I
know
do.
Where you live.
And we'll keep it that way. And then Proverbs 17:12 says, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly.
Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. You got a lot of bears where you live, Bill?
There are several bears that are in my neighborhood, George, yes. And some of them have young cubs. And it's better to encounter one, a bear like that, or this is in the tank right now, rather than a fool in his folly.
Well, so, you're looking at me like I'm that guy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I am, George. You know I am.
I think it's right. If you think you can go out and you're in recovery and you can go to bars and you can go to clubs and I'll drink Diet Cokes and I want to hang with you guys because I want to be like you, but I don't want to do what you're doing because I'm in recovery, that's got relapse written all over it. And, Bill, we work with guys all the time that have recovery, they're walking with God, and they make a poor choice, and the next thing you know, they're back in rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what that verse says to me.
I think you're right. I think it's excellent. I think you have to start finding new outlets, new friends, new places to get satisfaction in your life and joy.
Right.
And it's not going to be in the old environment, the old playgrounds with the old playmates.
Well, what we look at is we need a total lifestyle change. And if you're walking with the Lord and your life is no different than it was before you were walking with the Lord, well, either you didn't need Jesus in the first place, which I doubt, or you haven't made a lot of changes. Your life should be totally different after a couple years.
You know, one thing I find interesting about the Amish community is that when you see the Amish, obviously they live very different, but they live a life of such distinction apart from us.
Mm.
And I want to say, do Christians in the world today appear to the rest of the world like the Amish, like we live a distinctively different life? Or do we just kind of blend in with everybody, the way we talk, the way we, you know, what we attend, what we see, what we talk about, what we joke about? Are we living a life of distinction apart from the lost?
Gosh, that's good.
I don't know if it's just challenging because I have to ask myself that all the time.
Well, it's kind of like we use Jesus as our insurance agent. You know, if we get in trouble, you know, Jesus is there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for an hour a week, we live distinctive lives. I think one of the benefits about being a drunk is that if you are an addict or an alcoholic, you can't do that and stay sober. You got to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the blessings of addiction is that brings it to where you can't be a 1 hour a week transform guy that's in church and everything else is okay. That's mm-hmm. one of the blessings of addiction, I think. Rev, don't you?
Yes, sir. One thing I most definitely believe, listening to you gentlemen, and let me say thank you for allowing me
we
to...
We didn't introduce him. Sorry,
that doesn't matter. Yeah.
allow me to come on the show.
Reverend Hunter, everybody. Yeah.
And about the lifestyle and being changed and being a new creature when you accept Jesus Christ and And one thing, a verse I always hang on is Psalms 37:4. You got to delight yourself in the Lord. Mm. Love the Lord. Love what you're doing. And if and when that change comes, when you give your life to the Lord, you start appreciating being around Christians, going to church, and loving the people that God has saved as part of your family. Like Jesus said, who is my family? The ones that believe in the word. Amen. And so you would want to be around them. And when you're not around them, you'll feel empty. And that's one great reason why I'm glad to be here around such fine Christian men tonight.
Are we empty?
I don't know. I think with that, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll come back with a proper introduction of Reverend Hunter. You're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex W. on the board. You got nowhere to be but with us tonight. Stay tuned. Oh, yeah. Turn on my mic. Turn it up. Is it up? It's up. Okay. Welcome back, everybody, to Real Recovery. George, you know, it's going on 5:16 this Sunday evening, and not once today have I used algebra. Why, again, was I forced to almost flunk that subject twice in high school? Any thoughts on that?
You know, I don't know.
You do you use algebra, ever?
Oh, all the time.
So. Well, come on. When?
I lie a lot. You know, that's one of my defects in character.
Yeah.
When I get stumped and backed into a corner, I start lying.
George, for a minute there,
it's
you.
It's good to see you today.
For a minute there, you.
I lie a lot.
For a minute there, you bored me to death. Anyway, we're back. We're back with Reverend Hunter, and you know, Rev, when we were kids and we wanted to be older, is this what we expected?
No,
I didn't think so. When you were a kid, what were you thinking?
I was thinking NBA.
Of course, you were.
Yeah, playing
pro sports
in the NHL, or the NBA. Sports was my whole life when I was a child.
Yeah,
a matter of fact, it was so much of my life I kind of missed out on some of the algebra you're talking about.
Yeah, well,
back
I'm
in
not
school.
Using it. George isn't using it. Don't worry about it.
Right. But athletes. But I was fortunate enough to grow up in a facility called Hospitality House Youth Directions, and which is now Hospitality House Youth Development, and got a chance to for men of Jesus Christ to plant seeds in my life. And so that was one of the benefits that I didn't know at the time when I was a child, that it's a benefit today for me.
Hmm. And George, tell the listening audience a little bit about his skill level on the courts and on the rink.
Well, he won't tell you this, Bill.
I know
so
he will.
I will.
He's very humble.
When I started working down at the Salvation Army, we got a lot of guys from the north side of Minneapolis that were in rehab. And when they heard that Johnny Hunter was down there, Johnny Hunter, the ball player?
The Johnny Hunter.
Yeah. The Johnny Hunter.
Credibility soared.
And it was like, I had never heard that from Rev. And Rev was the point guard on the basketball team that went to the state and lost to Hibbing. Kevin McHale was on that team, and I think Rev put up 28 that night, and they still lost. But I never heard that from Rev, but I heard it from all the guys, and Rev will tell you that his best sport was hockey. So this guy has some street cred of his athletic ability, and now he's a minister who's going down there. But my guess is we didn't go from high school basketball into the ministry. Is that fair?
That is fair. That is very fair. During that time in high school, I had started using marijuana, you know, and then it progressed after I got out of high school, went to college, and didn't make it. Had some issues with my study habits, let's say. Wasn't the brightest kid on the block. A lot of folks will happen to know when you play sports, you ain't the best student in the classroom. So I struggled a lot in college, and so I ended up dropping out eventually. And then I started using drugs even more. It become a everyday thing instead of once a week or once a month. And we both know that drugs is a very progressive, and it fools you to think that you got a handle on it, And I thought I had a handle on it for many years, and then it just continued to grow all the way from marijuana, drinking beer, to a crack addiction. And so I was strung out, basically, on crack cocaine for about 15 years. And again, that was a time of struggle. Thought I had it together, but all the time I was killing myself and dying. And then I one day decided, I didn't really decide, because we really don't choose God. He chooses us, and we got to be able to receive it. But I asked him, you know, from the time I was young, I knew who Jesus Christ was, and I asked him to come in my life. You know, I was broken all the way to where I just didn't think there was nowhere else to go. And so I really went down on my knees and asked God to come into my life, and he did. He changed my whole life from that day where I truly surrendered in my heart and asked him to help me. I was almost like the disciples on the boat when Peter told Peter to come out there and he started sinking. He said, "Jesus, help me," and he helped him. And that's what happened to me, and I never turned back. And that was about 25 years ago now that I've been clean and sobered and working on God's team instead of my own agenda.
Okay, when the word got when you received the word and became a believer, what happened after that? Were there more hard times, and did the times get harder? Because sometimes that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you got house cleaning to do.
True. Not for me, though.
Okay.
God sent an angel to me.
Okay.
And my life changed completely. A matter of fact, everything was, matter of fact, it was kind of scary for me, because I was like, I don't deserve this.
Mm.
And doors start opening. Matter of fact, I went back to high school because I didn't graduate. I went back to high school to get my diploma because I didn't want a GED. And when I did that, I sat in the classroom for 2 years because I knew I wanted to go back to college. So there was some stuff I had to clean up. And a lot of people said, "How could you go back to high school and sit in the classroom with kids?" And I was older than most teachers. I was 40 years old. And God really blessed me in that situation of a humbled situation. And I became more of a counselor to the kids because they were having some of them same struggles I was having in high school. And then came a mentor to most of the teachers because they were wondering how, you know, you could do this. And so I came up to be a help.
I'm wondering that too, George.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I didn't know a 40-year-old could go to high school.
Right.
There's hope for you,
you know. They redshirted him, you know.
Right.
Really?
Right.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I did.
Just so you could go on to college.
Just so I could go on to college. And I wanted to complete. I was always a person, even in my younger days, to be a completer. You know, I didn't want a GED because that tells you two things. It tells you're capable.
Right.
But it also says you didn't complete high school. And I wanted a diploma, so I went back to high school.
Were you wearing your letter jacket and stuff?
No, but I might get one now. My son's playing at North.
Oh, we're going to get to that. So really, Bill, if I really want to do this, I might have to humble myself for a while to get the long-term goal, which is to go to college. And why did you want to go to college so badly?
Well, I wanted to go to college because I felt God was calling me to preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to preach the word something I didn't know. You know, even though I had gave my life to the Lord and I was in church, I was just a servant, you know. I mean, I'm still just a servant, but I was a person that would clean because I had a janitorial service during part of my addiction. So I came to the church and cleaned the church up. Every pew in the church, I picked the gum from under it, mopped every floor, cleaned every toilet, just to really, really humble myself. And then one day I was in that sanctuary and I heard the word from the Lord, "Well, you're going to preach my word." I said, "What word?" And so that could be scary for a preacher. And I said, well, okay, then if that's true, well, you're going to let me in college, right? And that's another story within itself, because I applied for Northwestern, and then they didn't let me in because I was so old, and my GPA wasn't that good. And then I went over to Bethel and North Central. But then one day I was sitting on the fireplace with my wife, and a letter came, and I ended up going to college down to Indiana Baptist Bible College,
okay,
which is in Indianapolis. But now, mind it, I got kids and a wife here, and the college is in Indianapolis. And so me and my wife sat down, and she said, you can go. I'll take care of the kids. And I promised her that I'd be back every weekend, snow, rain, or ice. And for 2 years, I came back home every week, and I set my classes for Monday through Thursday. Thursday night, I was on the road. I was back in Minneapolis.
How long a drive is that?
That's about 11 and a half hours. But the great thing, you can't miss that it was in God's plan. Because, mind you, I told you I couldn't. I was a bad student. My reading habits were bad. My spelling habits were bad. My math habits, the algebra was bad. And so,
amen, brother.
So what I did is I taped every class. I got to class 15 minutes before the professor most of the time and got the front row seat before I could tape the class. And then what happened was I took that tape and put it in my car, my truck, and listening to it all the way there and all the way back. So I could give the professor, when the finals came and midterm exams, I could almost give him his whole class back on paper, because I listened to it like a song. You know, like Jesus is on the main line. You know that one, George.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, sing a little.
Sing a little. Maybe next time.
I haven't heard. I love that song.
Yeah,
I love the way you do it.
I love it. You're not so tough all
the
time.
That's how it helped me. God bless.
So you're listening to this, driving back. Mm-hmm. You're 40 years old. How old were your kids?
My kids, DJ had to be, well, do the math, George, because we heard you were good in algebra. DJ's 15 right now.
Okay.
And I'm 56. And so
I got you at 41 then. Sounds good to me.
That's about right. And
What an amazing wife.
Yeah, she's you know her, she's special. Oh, anybody gosh. Deal with me, because I met my wife in my addiction, and she took a chance on me, and I got saved during that time, and so she's special.
She is special, but her mom's special too.
Yeah, her mom's amazing. That's why part of the reason I think I got saved, because I was broken, so I she prayed over me many times, and then one day I received a. Jesus Christ in my life, and that changed my life completely. So that's what I'm saying about it wasn't that hard for me, because God opened the doors for me, and I never had to go look for a job after that. Every job I got, somebody offered it to me, and that was at the Salvation Army, excuse me, when I came in there and brought a youth team in there, and then I started coming back every Friday. And then the next thing you know, I was offered a job. And so God's been good.
He has been good. Mm-hmm. George, this is a fascinating story. And we're talking to Reverend Johnny Hunter. And he has got more to share with what God's been doing in his life and how he's been serving others in the addiction community and how his brokenness led him on an amazing path. And we're going to take a short break. And we're all going to clear our throats. And we're going to get back at it in a couple of minutes. Thanks for listening to Real Recovery. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back, everybody, to Real Recovery. We're so glad you joined us tonight. I appreciate you being with us. We're talking to Reverend Johnny Hunter tonight. And George, you know, when he told us he was normal, he was obviously exaggerating some.
Yeah. It's not a normal story.
This is not a normal story.
Gosh. I'd kind of like to get back here. I'm trying to fill in the gaps. And I've known you for 8 years, I think, and we're very good friends. You're a spiritual mentor to me. But a lot of this is new. And I want to go back. Okay, you decide that God wants you to go back to school to preach the word. Why did you go back to high school? I know you wanted to graduate, but is there more to that?
Yes, it is. I grew up illiterate. I couldn't read. I couldn't write all through school. Matter of fact, my brothers are very intelligent people. They really wanted me to go back and sue the public school system for pushing me through school. But I went back for I could learn how to read and write. For when I went to college, I'd be at least be able to, you know, take the test and be able to do what I need to do to get through. And then it's in Indianapolis. So I had to at least be able to read the stop signs. You know?
I didn't get there, right?
I mean the traffic signs and the signs to get to where you needed to get.
Correct.
Yeah, interesting.
Correct.
This is stunning to me, Bill, because you've known Johnny for a long time too. He's a very sharp guy. I never would have known this. I've heard you preach a lot and teach classes, and what a tragedy! But rather than be a victim and go, I can't do this because of this, you take an action and you go take care of it.
Amen. And I thank God sent me through that for a reason. Because one thing, when I started working at the cell, there was a lot of men that a lot of people in the program didn't know that couldn't read or write. And one thing about not learning how to read and write, it becomes one of the scariest places for you as a classroom. Mm. You know, like some people might be scared to go in other venues like different clubs, or even folks are scared to go in certain churches. But for a literate person, illiterate person, a classroom is like going to war. You know, you think somebody's going to ask you to read something, or you think they're going to ask you to write something on the board, and you ain't able, especially if you're me, one of the top athletes in the school. And now that would disclose some stuff about you, and it's very, very frightening. So when I started counseling at the Salvation Army, there was many men that I discovered that have been addicted for years that couldn't read or write. And so I would take them back in my office and give them the Hooked on Phonics. And you might have seen that in there,
right,
in my office, and let them go through it and learn the sounds of letters and different vowels. And so it was a blessing. It's just like my addiction. My addiction, instead of a curse, it became a blessing. I was able to share it with other people that were trying to become clean and get out of addiction through the power of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm like most people that were addicts. I had quit many times, you know, not quit many times, but tried to quit many times, and said, if you just give me one more chance, I ain't never gonna do this no more. And it never worked until I really received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then everything started changing. And so it was exciting to me. It was almost like playing in the championship game. You know, now that, come on, bring it on. You know, I got power. I got the Lord on my side. Nothing's too hard. Matter of fact, I got to the point, Bill, where I have turned my life over so there wasn't no such thing as failure, because I don't own nothing. I gave it all to the Lord, and so how could I fail? No. If I fail, it's going to be God failing, and as I read my word, he don't fail.
I love it. But up until that point, every great idea you ever had pretty much got you into trouble, didn't it?
Correct.
And it was your thinking, and it was your strategies, and it was everything you thought you needed to do to have the life you wanted to have until you finally just absolutely got your head handed to you.
Amen. You're definitely right. I mean, you hit it straight on the head. And until I really surrender, everything I did was a failure, even though I played sports and had a good time doing it. But it came to an end a lot shorter than I would have liked it to happen. But once I gave my life to the Lord Jesus, now I'm sitting here with you and George. You know, he has opened so many doors that are unbelievable. Again, even being the director at Hospitality House, which was a gift from God, because I came out of the Salvation Army running a program called Giving Back, trying to run a program called Midnight Basketball, which was a gang intervention program. And so I said, well, if I bring the guys, all the men from the cell, to help these young brothers that are in the gangs understand where that's going to lead them to prison, to addiction, that might be a good mix. And so it was, and then it'll be good for the guys at the cell, because we both know that if you're saved, y'all talked about it earlier, and you're not doing nothing, and we know the idle mind is the devil's playground. I believe that everybody that Christ saves, he saves for a reason. You know, somehow we got to be able to give back. And I'm sure that's why you made it a part of your plan to be at the sale every Friday night, because we have to give back to somebody and help them get to where we are. And I think that's the humbleness of being saved and being on this family that Jesus Christ has put together.
That was well said.
Very. That's why I'm a little speechless.
I don't think I've ever had it formulated that everybody who gets saved has a purpose. But that is so true, and you knew what yours was. One of the things we started out with tonight, Bill, is about removing the defects of character. Character defects are shortcomings, and a lot of times when we're aware of that, we want to say that prayer of God, take it, change me.
Right.
But there's some work to be done, and this isn't hocus pocus, abracadabra, all of a sudden everything's good. He might lay out a plan, and there's a hardship here. You're going to be gone from your family. You're going to drive 22 miles a week just to get to school.
22 hours.
Yeah, 20, thank you. And 22 miles, I wouldn't have done.
No.
22 hours, and at the end of the day, you got 2 years of that, and you got no guarantee about anything, do you?
Mm-mm. That's true.
You know, you don't have a job. No. You know, you're cleaning toilets and you think God's telling you to go preach.
Right.
You might have sat there and gone, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I came up with that on my own. But you took it on faith and you acted on it. And what happened when you got done with school?
You know, what's important, George, that I think our listening audience needs to know, and this is one thing when I was teaching level one at the cell, is that God is going to speak to you. And we know that when we got saved, he had that little still voice and said, hey, son, come on, you're on my team. And you were like, whoa, you know, what is this? I tell guys today, don't ever forget that voice, because God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Am I right about it?
Yep.
Yeah. And so what happens, we don't want to forget that, because we're going to need him. You know, and we're going to need him down the road, because there's going to be some dry time. And sometimes you might say just what you're saying. Who is that talking to me? Is that me or is it the Lord? But if you remember that voice that saved you, you don't have, it's very distinguished, you see, and you'll know the difference. See, when people get, this is right up your alley, George. When people get food about who's who, that means they ain't doing the work. Faith without work is dead. And so if you ain't doing the faith work, which is serving, devotion, praying, being a part of the body, if you ain't doing that work, your voices are getting all over the place.
I love that.
But I discovered if you do that work that you're talking about, faith without work is dead, you will know and you will have a clear understanding of who's speaking. Your conscience, is it the devil or is it God? Because he don't sound like you or me or the devil. He is very distinguished. And he has a very distinguished voice. And that's why we're saved today, because we heard it.
I love that. I love that. Bill, the other thing here is the effort. You talk about that all the time, that we don't want to put in a lot of work. And we want what God has for us, but we're really not willing to go to any lengths. And we see a lot of people fail. And one of the things that I heard here from Rev is that he's not a victim. you know, you would hope that in a, today, 20 years ago or so, maybe 30 in our case, when a guy was in school, that they would have picked him out and said, hey, this guy can't, he can't read. And he could have said, hey, I'm a victim here, you know, I should have had this and blah, blah. Victims don't change. You know, there's a bad thing that happened. It shouldn't have happened to you. Everybody would agree on that. But you did the next right thing, and that's to change it. You know, what can I do to change this? And there's some work. So you come back. You're done with school. You got your degree. What happened next?
Well, I started becoming a youth pastor. And when I did that, I was working with kids in taking them around, just trying to teach them the Word of God, learning how to teach, you know, and response, and learning responses from different people. And then I really start reaching out.
Okay.
You know, because one thing in my family, in my neck of the woods, let's say when you become a preacher, people pull on you. They want to know, first of all, they're going to say, is he really a preacher? You know, because of the old behavior.
Sure.
You know, you got to remember, I've been on the street for 15 years hustling, doing drugs, gambling, and the whole nine yards that comes with addictive game. Okay, and now everybody's saying, is he really saved? They're really kind of looking at you saying, oh, well, he's just on that for a minute. You know, and so at first it was building, like you said earlier, George, building new relationships, because all my friends were addicted. And so I had to build new relationships. And so as I was building them, I met you. But at the same time, I went to the church and met some brothers that had been in the church a long time and kind of started hanging around them and really trying to build myself and learning how to live sober. You know, it was still work, even though I knew I was saved, but I still had to say, okay, I ain't going to the bar tonight, so where do I go? Well, automatically, I start working out again. You know, I started going to the gym again. I started doing some of them things that I haven't done all them years that I like to do. And so I start having fun again. So then I start meeting new people at the gym. Because when you're about 35 and 36, most of the folk at the gym ain't in the bars. They're trying to stay in shape.
Right.
You know, so you're trying to get a transformation there. And so I just put a good group of people around me that I would be able to relate to. But most of all, I spent a lot of time in the Word.
Who was the pastor you were under?
I was under, still under today. He's still my pastor, Reverend Jesse Griffin of True Vine Missionary Baptist Church. He's the oldest pastor in the Baptist Convention in the Twin Cities. He's been pastoring on the north side of Minneapolis now for over 39 years. And he's reminds me a lot of you because he always got a joke for you.
kind of sad, actually. Anyway, we're going to take a very short break. We have one more segment with Reverend Johnny Hunter. Please stay tuned. You listen to Real Recovery on Faith Radio. Back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us tonight. You're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio, and on the other side, George Fraser, a man who is easily distracted by shiny objects. On the board tonight, Alex W., doing an excellent job, as always, and our guest in studio, Reverend Johnny Hunter.
Who's doing a pretty excellent job, too.
I would agree, George. I would agree.
Oh, you want me to say something? After saying I'm ADD and out over here?
Which you are, George.
Yeah, and I'm true to form. Okay, so you get back, you're working with guys in the Army, you're trying to reach out, do community work, plug in. How did you get started with First Community Recovery Church?
That's a good question, George. I've been blessed through this faith walk to have great mentors around me and great people that were in recovery that loved the Lord but also had a good ear to hear God's voice. And so while I was working at the Salvation Army, and one day, you know, because we used to bring guys, I mean, 50 to 100 guys to different churches,
right,
coming out of the Salvation Army. And And we never really got received as brothers trying to seek a place for Christ, you know, for these men. We want these men to find church homes. That's one of our main goals, is for a man in recovery should find a church home and become a part of the family. And so one day I was walking in the hallway at the Salvation Army, and I was speaking to one of my mentors who has now went home to be with the Lord, named Ernie Larson.
The Ernie Larson?
The Ernie Larson. And he took me under his wing and taught me a lot about recovery. But one thing I told him, I said, God is really putting on my heart to start a church. And, you know, that he just stopped in his track. If you knew Ernie, he stopped and he said, what did you say? I said, God has really put it on my heart to start a church. And he said, who? I said, God. And Ernie said, well, why haven't you started it then?
That's a good question.
Yeah. And I took that to heart. And then he went on, you know, he never stops there, right? If he says, why haven't you started? He wants to give you some ideas of how to go. You know, how do you go about it? He said, well, just walk into some place and that has a place where you can have a church and ask them, could you do it? And so the first day, it happened to be at the same time when I was starting midnight basketball at the hospitality house. And the director came down and introduced himself, and I'm John Hunter, and so on, so such and such. And I said, well, I really want to start a church, too. And he said, you know what? I've been wanting a church here for the longest, but I was scared to have one, you know. And so I started the church about the same time, 8 years ago, matter of fact, as I started Midnight Basketball. And that's how the first community recovery church came into existence. So I got the men together at the Salvation Army, and Dave Dockmo was there at that time, and we put together a church. And so all the people, it's all ran by people in recovery. The webpage was built by a guy in recovery. The deacons are in recovery. The preacher's in recovery, which is me, of course, and Charles Orange.
You had another preacher there that I think wrote a few books. Ernie something was a preacher there, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ernie Larson was a saved, born-again believer preacher there, because, you know, he was a priest for a long time. And he used to always come to the church. He said, what is that feeling? What is that feeling? You know, he's speaking of the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, I want to get that. You know, I need to have that. And Ernie was seeking the Lord. And I'll tell you, he's such an amazing guy. Even through his going home to be with the Lord, he wrote some great letters. And one of some of the last words he spoke to me, before he told me I was going to do his funeral, now I'm really nervous. Why am I doing your 40? You know, you're Ernie Larson, this big, you know, it's like almost to me, it's like doing the president's funeral almost, because that's how much he meant to me.
Right.
And so that was kind of scary for me. But Ernie used to always tell me to love the men, you know, like Christ loved me. And he said, if you do that, don't worry about it. Everything's going to work out.
Isn't that the truth?
And that's I live on that.
Yeah.
I live on the love of Jesus Christ. And I love, at the Recovery Church, we love you right where you're at.
Nice.
You know.
I remember that funeral because the priest did the first part, and everybody's falling asleep. And then Reverend Hunter got up with keyboard accompaniment, and everybody was on their feet. It was a beautiful thing. Ernie would have loved that.
Yeah, you know, the midnight basketball sounds pretty tough. Mm-hmm. It sounds cool. I mean, if you ever do 7 p.m. shuffleboard, I'm sure George might be interested. But it's interesting how there's no details that are inconsequential in God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go there with midnight basketball, and all of a sudden you want to have this church, you want to get it started, and you talk to them, and they're going, yeah, this is exactly what we wanted as well. There's just no details. You actually went to college without any guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you've seen you do requires God's participation in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You hang yourself out over the cliff with no net.
It gets better, though, here, Billy. Here he is. The guy comes down as executive director of the hospitality house who says, you know, you're doing midnight basketball, and you want to start a church, great. Well, you know who the executive director of Hospitality House is now? It's John Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just the start of it. I mean, mm-hmm. come on.
Yes.
And we go back to where you're cleaning toilets, and mm-hmm. God tells you to do this, and mm-hmm. it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
How many people in the church?
Right now we have, well, a lot of people came through there. I would say we got...
Don't look at me.
including George. But I say we have 150 folks in the church right now that's consistent. But we probably have over 700 members of the First Recovery Church.
Isn't that something?
And it's amazing. But, again, it is amazing because after that they asked me to be on the board. You know, God had a whole nother plan.
On a hospitality house board.
Hospitality house board. And then from there, Phil, the guy, the executive director, was ready to retire. And then I stepped in his shoes, and there I am. And now I'm in a whole different playground. Now I'm an executive director, fundraiser. I got a 150 children that we run through the program, our after-school program, and about another 60 that are on our basketball teams and baseball teams. And now I'm still at the cell working with the men, and I have the church.
Wow.
And so now I really got busy. But, again, God put great mentors around me, and George was one of them. You know, he has the – I use his famous words – all the time.
This could be good. Alex, you got your finger on the button over there?
Yep. Apply to infested area? What's what are his famous words?
Recovery without Jesus Christ is idolatry. I'll never forget that. That touched my heart when George told the men that, and I believe that wholeheartedly.
Amen.
You know, I even go further. Life without Christ is worthless.
I agree.
I like that.
I agree.
The curriculum for the after-school program at Hospitality House, is that biblically based? Do you get to share Christ with these kids?
We do get to share Christ with these kids. That's our main focus, is to give Jesus to these kids, because we know giving Jesus to kids is a seed that never stops growing. And never stops growing. And so this will help them in all their ventures, just like it helped me.
That's beautiful. Now, this is on the north side of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty rough area now, isn't it?
It is. It is. That's another topic with drugs and guns that are being bought into North Minneapolis that our kids are getting a hold of. And then they're green, which is naive, because a lot of them don't understand how they're destroying the family and men and women with addiction through the drugs and behavior that they're having.
But Rev, you've got a pretty spectacular story, and there's probably somebody listening tonight who is not as desperate maybe as you mm-hmm. were at the mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. but maybe has got a great deal of dissatisfaction in their life, and they can't connect the dots to Christ mm-hmm. yet. Mm-hmm. Do you have any words for them? Because we've just got about a minute left.
I do. If I was to really give words of encouragement to somebody that's listening that don't know Jesus, I would have to let them know that you have tried many things in your life. Give Jesus a try. Don't try to figure it out, because God lets us know if you knock, he'll open the door. If you seek, you'll find. He will come into your life. Just be open and surrender
mm-hmm.
for new ideas.
Oftentimes people, they can't accept the things of God because they're fools, but also mm-hmm. that they don't want the answer to be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you stepped on a rusty nail and you went to the doctor and he said, we've got to give you a tetanus shot, and you go, well, I don't want a tetanus shot. I just want one of the suckers that's in the bowl in the lobby.
Right. Right.
And you go, well, that's not going to help.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
mm-hmm.
the answer, and never will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to sometimes get the truth into their heads because God isn't opening their minds yet. But you just, we come alongside and love them
mm-hmm.
and love them and love
Hallelujah.
Them and give them a reason to question,
mm-hmm.
why do you keep after me? Why
mm-hmm.
do you keep loving me? And that's mm-hmm. the hard part sometimes.
It is. It is, because he does. And you're 100% right, Bill. And that's the greatness of the God of Jesus Christ who we serve. We don't have to be perfect. I think that's one reason why he gave us repentance. You know, he wants us to know that he loves us unconditionally. And that's the greatness. And you don't have to change. I always tell folks, don't change until you know him. Just keep seeking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep seeking. You don't have to change. He said, come as you are. You know, right as you are, and he will do the changing. You know, the word tells us the word will draw all men unto him.
Been a great hour, George. This is a guy who works hard.
Bless you.
And, you know, George, I know that you, I'm not saying you're lazy, but you enjoy doing nothing.
I play hard.
Yeah, you do. So,
I'm inspired
by the Rev.
Because
he puts his faith into action, and we're always glad when he can be on the show and to catch up with him. And so it wraps up another award-winning episode of Real Recovery, George. Once again, with Alex at the board, making all the key decisions, allowing us to be at the microphones here, and giving God the glory for another opportunity to share his gospel.
Fabulous.
And his good words. So that wraps up tonight. Thanks so much for being with us. I hope you have a great week, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week on Real Recovery. Have a great week. Good night.